kuvekazu mushorsam ktizenketu eben aluliak samara nem ayan lot. In other words, if you are 12 years old or younger, you should be in school and not listening to this radio show.
You're not dumb enough to actually try it.
Üdvözöljük a hallgatókat a Mindenki Joga október 22-i műsorában. Másfél óra múlva egy félórás ízelítőt hallhatnak a Magyarországi Roma Parlament nemzetközi sajtótájékoztatójából. Október 15-én hétfőn a Magyarországi Roma Parlament nemzetközi sajtótájékoztatót tartott Józsefvárosi székházában, a jogtalan kilakoltatásának körülményeiről és ezzel kapcsolatban indított bírósági perlő és a legújabb alapjogi dekrétumról, mely új fordulatot hozhat a magyarországi cigányság és az állam viszonyában. A sajtó tájékoztatón hallhatjuk Zsigó Jernő elnököt és Horváth Aladát a Roma Polgárjogi Alapítványtól.
Welcome to the October 22nd, 2012 edition of Mindenki Yoga. This is JD.
All programs. This is Radio Clash on Pirate Satellite. Orbiting your living room, cashing in the Bill of Rights. Cuban army surplus or refusing of the lights. This is Radio Clash on Pirate Satellite.
The theme for this episode of Mindenki Yoga will be Roma Gypsies in Hungary and the situation here, and also of Hungarian Roma that have either immigrated or seeked political asylum, a refugee status in Canada. And also we'll have at the end a press conference at the Roma Parliament in the 8th District of Hungary, which is its future, the Roma Parliament. This community center is in doubt. The press conference will be in Hungarian. So if you don't speak Hungarian, you will probably tune out at that point. But that will be in 1.5 hours.
This is Radio Clash tearing up the seven bales. Save us, stop the whale. This is Radio Clash underneath the mushroom cloud. This is Radio Clash, no need that primo swell.
Okay, so in this past week, there was a major protest in Miskolc, a northeastern part of Hungary, a city, an old industrial town. And there was a protest by Jobbik against the what they call Roma or Gypsy criminality, which is basically a racist term, if you ask me. And then there was the Roma and non-Roma community that was protesting against Jobbik, had a peaceful march in opposition to them. And Balázs Ture, who we've interviewed in the past, who's a Hungarian photographer, and he spent time at that demonstration and this last week. So let's listen to Balázs Ture give us a report back from Miskolc. Balázs Ture, thank you for coming on the Mindenki Yoga radio show. If you could, you were at the Miskolc rally this last week. Can you tell us a bit of what you saw there?
Well, it was a very peaceful march, and it was an honor to be there with mostly with Roma people from Miskolc and quite many from around the country. The aim was to hold a march against physical violence and verbal violence and against Jobbik that is threatening and has been threatening them and many other Roma communities for some time. It was actually against what happened in Tegliad and what happened in Devecser during the summer, and they were afraid of this occasion that Gábor Vona, head of Jobbik, and all the other supporters are just marching in the Avas neighborhood in Miskolc, and that will result some kind of confrontation. And they wanted to shed light on this, that Roma again and again and again is proving that they are not violent, that they are not criminals, that they are just would like to have a normal life like everyone in this country. And they just wanted to show that that they don't need Jobbik and Jobbik's approach in any way being involved in the discussion about Roma people and their life in Hungary.
And why was this in Miskolc? What brought the rally or the demonstration there?
Well, it seems to be a long story, but people are familiar with the story of Jobbik and with the internal conflict in Jobbik seem to suggest that one explanation is that Jobbik became say weak or disorganized in the county of Borsod after this very very awkward situation about the Szegedi Csanád who has a Jewish grandmother, Jewish grandparents, and it became really a very problematic thing for them, which is like in itself, you know, just to say this, it sounds stupid that, you know, you can be a pariah in your own party if you have Jewish ancestors. But Jobbik is a far-right-wing party attacking verbally, at least, and without much proving it physically, Roma people just say, for example, you know, you can never just say, or you can hardly say that Jobbik people just were physically targeting or insulting Roma people. If I would say this, they would just come up with a lawsuit. But people belonging to the Garda or not belonging to the Garda, but familiar with the Garda or friend or sympathetic to the Garda, are behind perhaps behind attacks on these people, and Jobbik, which came in a way weak and finding less support in this county, had to figure out something, and it's usually the same old thing, round up the usual suspects, as the line goes. So who are they? Jews, Roma, and especially for Jobbik, they are Roma in Borsod, who has not much chance to defend themselves publicly.
And there was also a Jobbik protest at the same in the same location. How was the police presence there? Did you feel safe or secure?
There was a very huge police presence, and again, of course, that was a lie back in August when Garda and Jobbik people said that they were peaceful and that nothing, and then the result that nothing really happened, no real confrontation took place between Roma and Hungarians, was only because the Gardists were so respectful and so much avoiding confrontation. This is a sheer lie. Again, it was the Roma leaders, Roma communities, and Roma people who decided not to confront Jobbik in any way. So the march started at 2 o'clock, and the Jobbik demonstration started at 5 p.m. in the afternoon. So there was like a 3 hours between the two demonstrations, and the one the Roma people organized left the Avash neighborhood at 2 o'clock, and the march went to the city center of Miskolc, and the Jobbik demonstration took place in the Avash neighborhood at from 5 o'clock till I don't know what time. So again, just to repeat it, it was again the Roma people who did everything to avoid confrontation.
Balázs Tóra, you are a photographer, and we've had you on the show before, and you're always traveling the country. Can you tell me what you're doing these days?
Actually, I do two things. I'm visiting again the families whom I've been visiting for a long time. The families who've been who were attacked many years ago, and members were killed, and I make interviews with them again, and I'm preparing for a show that is actually not public yet, but all I can tell that I'm just preparing for another show very very soon. And the other project, I don't really like this expression, is about a school, the Dr. Ambedkar school in Sajókaza, and those then the Alsó Zsolt and around Miskolc, which is actually doing a lot for these impoverished people, and has a fantastic program for Roma, for young Roma and non-Roma students. And I think it's worth to tell their story. It's worth to respect what they do, and to understand how hard to find good education, and how much hard is for Roma to find proper education that really helps them to have a normal job, or to have at least any job. So these are the two projects I'm involved in these days, and I do hope that they will just shed light on how much things haven't improved really in the life of the families that were attacked 3-4 years ago. And in the same time, the other project is about Roma and non-Roma people working together to help and to give a chance for education for those who would like to go to school, and as we all know, who would like to have a job and who would like to work, because we all know, I think there are some, but we all know that all people in this country would like to work and don't want subsidiaries, just That's all I want to address, and to show that these sentences and accusations from Jobbik and far-right-wing people are just sheer lies.
Thank you, Balázs Tóra, I hope to hear from you again in your travels and experiences. I will put links to your blogs on the Mindenki Yoga Radio Show blog as well, so people can see your wonderful photos.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Balázs. Thank you, Balázs Tóra. And thank you, and we'll get more reports from you in the future, I hope. Next, we're going to talk to Gina Chani Roba, who is a Canadian-Hungarian and a Roma, a gypsy woman, and she now lives in Toronto, Canada. Her grandparents left Hungary after 1956 because of the revolution. There is... You know, this last summer I discovered behind the 1956 monument in Városliget, if you're looking at the Heroes Square, it's to the right, and you'll find these kind of metal beams for this 1956 memorial. But behind that is some trees, and well, there's lots of trees, but there's some newly planted trees and some plaques that are on the ground. And it's... And the plaques were put there by the Canadian-Hungary Educational Foundation and the Rákóczi Foundation of Canada. And it's to commemorate the 40,000 Canadians, or 40,000 Hungarians that had left Hungary because of the 1956 revolution, and became Canadian citizens. It's very interesting. I'll put pictures of this on the blog, by the way. I think it's a very interesting little memorial. There's so many memorials in Varishliget, the city park, but this one I never noticed before. So Canada took in 40,000 Hungarians after the revolution. There's a total of 200,000 Hungarians that left the country almost immediately after the revolution. And so unfortunately today, because of the various tensions and crazy stuff happening in Hungary, with the rise of the extreme right, the problems of the economic crisis, and of the all of which has exacerbated the racism that Hungarian Roma feel every day, that thousands of Hungarian Roma are flying to Canada and asking for asylum. And many of them are actually getting asylum, refugee status. And Gina Chani Roba is a leader of the Roma Community Center of Toronto, Canada, and which is a completely volunteer organization for all Roma immigrants, refugees or otherwise, or just regular immigrants to Canada, to Toronto. And but in the past 3 years, she's been specifically focusing on this issue of especially Hungarian and Czech Roma that are coming to Canada and asking for asylum. And so she's going to explain the whole thing to us, but the figures were quite shocking. She said 23,000 Hungarians have come to Canada in the last 3 years requesting asylum. And the most interesting thing is that they have a 20%, approximately 20% refugee status being given, which is extremely high for most situations. I think most European countries are like in the in the single digits of take any group that comes to a country and ask for asylum. It's in Europe, it's usually going to be in the single digits. And so for Hungarian Roma, it's like nearly 20%. This shows that there's something in Hungary that the Canadian officials recognize is as a problem. And so anyways, this is going to have big effects on other things as well. We'll talk about those in another day, but let's talk to Gina Chani Roba, a coordinator or activist for the Toronto Roma Community Center.
Thank you for coming to the show, Gina Chani Roba. You're a Roma Hungarian Canadian in Toronto and involved in a Roma Community Center in Toronto. Please introduce yourself.
Hello, everyone. Sziasztok. My name is Gina Chani Roba, and I am the executive director of the Roma Community Center based in Toronto, Canada.
And first of all, tell me about yourself and how your family came to Hungary.
Well, my family's from Hungary. My family are Hungarian Roma, from Székesfehérvár and Bükk. And they immigrated as refugees to Canada in 1956 during the Hungarian Revolution.
And this show is actually being played on the 22nd and 23rd for October for the revolution anniversary. And so, I mean, tell me, I mean, there was like how many like what was it? It was over 50,000 Hungarians that went to Canada, I believe.
Yes, there's a big population of Hungarian people living in Canada. That was also a time that many Hungarian Roma had come. But there was no distinguishing between who were Roma or non-Roma when Hungarians came at that time. So that's really when the roots of the Hungarian community were put down in Canada in 1956. Yes, my grandparents arrived on a boat in Nova Scotia and eventually made their way to Ontario, where they worked picking tobacco in Niagara-on-the-Lake area, which is now a big wine region, and eventually ended up in Hamilton and then Toronto.
And I can tell you have a very Canadian accent, as I, and so you are you know, very much Canadian now, as your second generation.
Well, you know, in Canada, it's very easy to maintain your cultural or ethnic background. It's encouraged in the multicultural climate that we live in. So yes, I'm Canadian born. I'm a first generation on my father's side and a second generation on my mother's side. So we grew up very aware of our Roma identity. I mean, at that time, we didn't use the word Roma. We used the word Gypsy. And my grandparents were very proud Gypsies and came to Canada and, you know, brought their entertainment roots with them. And my grandfather played violin at many of the Hungarian restaurants on Bloor Street in Toronto, which was a flourishing Hungarian neighborhood back in the 60s and 70s.
What was it like for you growing up with in Toronto or in Ontario with this? Were there other Roma, Hungarian Roma, or other Roma that you grew up with?
There were very few Hungarian Roma that I ever encountered growing up. We were a very large Hungarian Roma family and self-insulated, if you'll call it that. I really didn't encounter that many Roma growing up, to be honest with you. People come into Canada and people blend and people, you know, try to escape a lot of the stigma of being a gypsy and the racism and discrimination and negative stereotypes associated with that. So people don't come here and raise the gypsy flag very high, if you will. So we kind of live quiet lives here. And that's how we lived growing up. The only time I ever felt hatred was when I often met other European people that imported their hatred towards Roma gypsies to Canada. And at that time, I was made to feel ashamed of who I was and told often to keep it a secret, that it's embarrassing and I should do my best to conceal my identity and just identify as Hungarian rather than Hungarian gypsy or Hungarian Roma. So other than that, you know, I didn't feel any sort of persecution or discrimination or any of the things that my counterparts in Hungary feel growing up. I wasn't subjected to segregated education. You know, I've never had a problem accessing healthcare, and I've never had my identity be a detriment to me in this country. Though I've been surrounded by gypsy stereotypes my entire life, they've not been harmful in any way like it has been to our community in Europe.
You visited, you've come back to Hungary to educate yourself or to go to, you've come back to Hungary. Please explain that.
In the 90s, when Czech and Hungarian Roma began coming to Canada, there was this terrible backlash that began to happen, and it really raised my awareness of how the community is treated. I mean, we don't have a lot of connection with our Hungarian Roma family back in Hungary since we left in 1956. The family, we didn't have, there was not telephones or easy communication, and my grandmother wasn't able to write. So we've had very, very limited contact, and we're never really made aware of what was happening. And this was long before the internet ever existed, you know, and we kind of lost touch with our roots quite a bit. But in the late 90s, mid to late 90s, when Roma began coming here, there was this terrible backlash in the media and in segments of the society that like to propagate hate. We have a white supremacy group called the Heritage Front. And at that time, the Heritage Front and many skinheads were protesting in front of the refugee shelters where Roma were being housed and holding signs like honk if you hate gypsies. And basically protesting and demonstrating that they wanted gypsies out of Canada. And some of the reactions that the government had at that time were alarming to me. I mean, one politician, a member of parliament, said that we don't want these pimps and drug dealers in our country. And this was shocking to me. I had never encountered anything like this. And it really made me start wondering more and wanting to know more about why the people were coming and, you know, why this terrible, terrible reaction was happening. I learned later that that was when the Roma Community Center in Toronto was originally formed, in reaction to this and in response and trying to help the Roma refugee claimants that were coming at that time. And that's when it was founded by Ronald Lee and Amdi Azanowski and two other individuals, Paul St. Clair being one of them, that helped to form the Roma Community Center. So that's where I started to originally feel that I needed to do something. I needed to learn more. When I was in university, I really wanted to begin a Roma student group. Because I could never find other Roma in university for us to begin working together and to respond and to somehow build some, you know, pride and knowledge among ourselves and to help our community. So when I was done university, I found a group online called the European Roma Rights Center, an organization that utilizes law as a mechanism to enforce governments and other agencies and groups in society and hold them accountable for the human rights laws that exist and to stop the abuse of Roma people. I found them and I found that they offered a summer-long human rights training workshop for university-educated Roma students. And it was offered in collaboration with the Canadian Human Rights Foundation. So that was really appealing to me, and I was really excited about the opportunity. I wrote to them, and they approved me coming from Canada and staying in Budapest for August and learning with 20 other Roma university students. In 2004, I went and spent the summer in Hungary, and during the month of July, I went and did my family history. I retraced the roots of my grandmother and my grandfather on my mother's side to the villages and the cities that they came from and put together my family tree, and met with some of my grandmother's siblings that were still alive. And after that, I went and attended this workshop that lasted for 3.5 weeks, 10 hours a day, 6 days a week of studying with what became my pseudo family. It was an amazing moment for me, meeting other educated Roma that I had longed to meet my entire life. And so we worked together, and many of them are leaders in their respective Roma communities in the different countries that they come from in Europe, say like in Macedonia, for example, and in Spain. So all of us have been doing our best. I left Hungary and came back to Canada, and still felt this longing for quite a while to return to Hungary to continue learning and doing more work at the European Roma Rights Center, because I felt that I really couldn't help my community here without the experience of being in Hungary and really learning and feeling what the community endures over there. Being Canadian born, there's just this vast, vast difference of experience. We don't experience human rights abuse in Canada. You know, we experience occasional discrimination, and that certainly has increased a lot in the last 4 years since a large number of Roma refugees have come to Canada. But in able to help the community, I felt like I had to spend more time. So I went back in 2006 to the European Roma Rights Center and spent time doing an internship there, during which time I had an opportunity to do election monitoring of minority self-government elections, particularly in Jászladán, Hungary, where there's a big problem of the mayor wanting to segregate the education system for Roma children there, and really opposing the wishes of the minority government. So I also did a lot of activism around trying to desegregate schools where Roma children have been segregated into while I was in Hungary. And that segregation looks like either completely separate schools or one school with one part just specific for the Roma students and the other part for non-Roma. So those were some of the things that I did prior to coming back to Canada and becoming involved with the Toronto Roma Community Centre in 2007.
Please tell us about that. What is a community centre for Roma in Toronto?
So the Roma Community Centre in Toronto is an organization for all Roma, Canadian Roma, Hungarian Roma, Czech Roma, French Roma, Romanian Roma, Roma from anywhere. Our board of directors is highly diverse. It has Muslim Roma, Christian Roma. We've had Jewish Roma at times. We've had Roma from, you know, almost every country in Europe at one point or another throughout our history. The Roma Community Center was founded in 1997 as a nonprofit Canadian organization. And the initiative that was began because of the large number of Roma coming in the late 90s from the Czech Republic and Hungary. So the original mandate of the organization was to help the settlement of new Roma refugees in Canada and to try to respond to a lot of the hatred that the community was faced with here. Since then, what we do a lot of is, including settlement, is education. We do a lot of education in our community around the Holocaust, and that's education within our community and outside our community. So engaging in a lot of public education and awareness building, as well as advocacy around some of the institutionalized discrimination that we face in Canada now coming from the Canadian government and the Canadian immigration of Canadian Minister of Immigration and Citizenship, Jason Kenney, who continues to refer to Roma from Hungary as bogus refugee claimants.
And he's the one that he visited recently in Hungary?
Yes, Jason Kenney. It was him. I mean, it was him. I mean, prior to him coming, he had already been on Hungarian television, his face with him speaking openly. Jason Kenney went on Hungarian far-right television and told the Hungarian people that Canada is aware that people cannot come and apply for refugee status in another country just because they like it better or because they face occasional discrimination in their country of origin. So he was legit. He was discrediting Roma refugees to the Hungarian people. And this is the first time that any Canadian government minister has ever so openly discriminated against any group in Canada. You know, he's stepped beyond his ministerial boundaries and literally has politically intervened in the independent decision-making process of the Canadian Immigration Refugee Board in Canada. For example, in 2008, when Czech Roma were coming, there was an 83% acceptance rate of Roma refugees from the Czech Republic. In 2009, our immigration minister began calling Roma refugee claims bogus. And he began pointing to one criminal case that happened in Hamilton, Ontario, of a Hungarian Roma family that had brought people from their small village in Hungary to work on their construction company here without any pay. And it had encouraged them to apply for refugee status as well to stay in the country. So this case became like the hallmark, the precedent of all Roma refugees across Canada, according to this minister. And so when this discourse of bogus refugee claimants began, the acceptance rate at the Immigration Refugee Board dropped to zero for Roma refugee claimants, and it remained at zero for a four-month period.
Is that for Roma or for Hungarian Roma that it dropped to zero?
Sorry, it had dropped to zero for any refugee claims from the Czech or Hungarian, from Czech or Hungarian citizens. So it doesn't compile information based if someone is ethnic Hungarian or Hungarian Roma. It's just, you know, by country. But we assume that the vast majority of refugee claims from these countries are Roma. So the acceptance rate dropped to zero for a period of 4 months. And since then, it's been anywhere between 8% or 28%. It currently sits around 18%.
And as far as like refugee percentages. That's incredibly high, I think, or at least for Europe. You know, like a European country considered high acceptance rate if it's like, you know, in the single digits. So it tells me if there's 20-something%, there must be something that the authorities have to accept as true.
You're absolutely correct in that. I mean, how can you call all Roma refugee claims bogus when there's 20% of them being accepted by our Immigration Refugee Board? If there's even one family being accepted by our Immigration Refugee Board, it totally nullifies this false claim of Roma refugee claims being bogus, because there is some recognition that there's families facing persecution in Europe. For example, the last year, there was 165 claims accepted at the refugee board. That's 165 families, essentially. That's fair enough recognition. That's fair enough example to say that there is a problem that exists. If 165 applications are being accepted from Hungarian nationals as legitimate refugees in Canada, we cannot say that Roma refugee claims are bogus, and we cannot say that Hungary is a safe country for everybody, including the minorities in that country, and the largest minority being the Roma people. So this immigration minister that we have here in Canada has even gone as far as to distribute pamphlets in Miss Gulch, Hungary, encouraging Roma not to seek asylum in Canada, saying the same things he had said on the television, that you cannot come to another country because you face occasional discrimination. The interference that this immigration minister has done is absolutely unprecedented. And so in his last visit, he just was in Hungary a few weeks ago, and he visited Miskolc, and he visited a smaller city while there. And, you know, this is all in preparation for what's happening in the Canadian law in Canada. The immigration minister introduced legislation that we've been fighting about, and all Canadian human rights groups and Canadian refugee groups have been absolutely appalled by, which is Bill C-31. And basically, he's changed the refugee asylum-seeking system in Canada. And it's going to make it very difficult for any refugees coming from what are considered safe countries. He's supposed to be publishing this list of safe countries in next month in December. So in December, he's going to be publishing the safe countries list. And everybody is quite sure that Hungary will end up on this list. People from safe countries will have less than half the time to submit a refugee application when they come into Canada. So the current 28 days will decrease to 15 days. People from safe countries will have to have their claims heard between 30 to 45 days. Currently, it's about 3 years before someone has their claim heard. So between 30 to 45 days, they will have to get supporting documents and evidence to substantiate their refugee claim. It's going to be near impossible to get any medical reports or police reports in that time period. It takes approximately 8 weeks to be able to get documents from the United States, which is our neighbor. There's no way that in 30 to 45 days that we're going to get these documents from Hungary or the Czech Republic or Slovakia or Romania or any country in Europe. So what will also happen is that refugees from designated safe countries will not have access to a newly created refugee appeal division. Refugee advocates in Canada have long wanted a refugee appeal division. It's necessary in the process. Unfortunately, refugees from designated safe countries will not have the privilege of accessing this refugee appeal division. In the new system, refugees from safe countries will face a 12-month bar, a one-year bar from applying for a humanitarian and compassionate grounds application to stay in Canada. They will also have a one-year bar for applying for a pre-removal risk assessment. There will also be a one-year bar for applying to the federal court for a judicial review of your case. So essentially, all of their avenues of staying in Canada or having any review of the initial decision that was made in your case will be removed or barred for a one-year period for refugees from designated safe countries. So essentially what's happened is that the immigration minister has done a great job at discouraging Roma refugees to come to Canada to seek asylum. He's created a system so that Roma will likely fail in that system and be sent back much quicker without any opportunity for appeal or review of their case for a 1 year period. And while they're waiting for that 1 year, people will definitely be deported. So it's made this system completely closed off, essentially, to Roma refugees.
So here in Hungary, I mean, have you demonstrated your irritability, your dissatisfaction about this to the Hungarian government? Well, what's the Hungarian government's response?
Well, I've met with Zoltán Balogh nearly 2 years ago now. I met with Zoltán Balogh at the Roma Community Center when he came to visit us. He showed up an hour and a half late for our meeting. We had a whole room full of human rights people from Canada, as well as refugees from our community to share their stories with him. He stayed for approximately a half an hour, and he adamantly claimed that the only reason why Roma refugees are coming to Canada is because of an economic problem, because of factories that closed in Miskolc, for example. And as soon as this economic problem was cleared up and more infrastructure and jobs were created, that this problem would go away. Not long after that, I met with other members of the Hungarian government. And again, it was the same discourse, the same cold wall of there is no problem in Hungary. There is no problem with racism or hatred or discrimination. There's no disease affecting Hungarian society that's festering and really polarizing the Hungarian Roma and non-Roma. There was no discussion of this. We couldn't even have a discussion of this because the only thing that the ministers continued to iterate was that there's an economic problem, and that is why Roma refugees are coming to Canada. And then I've met with the Hungarian ambassador to Canada, and he also was saying the same thing. So there's not even any room for dialogue here. There's no room for even bridge building and trying to see if we could address the root causes of the problem together. You know, it's only been a cold wall, and the Canadian and the Hungarian governments have been collaborating very closely with each other. As the Canadian immigration minister talks about bogus refugees from safe democratic countries, so he talks about Roma that have come to Canada as a result of human trafficking and human smuggling and organized crime. He talks about Roma coming and abusing Canada's generous welfare system and healthcare and, you know, just really parasiting off the system. The same discourse that the Jobbik party loves to accentuate in Hungary and to polarize the people, and encourage anti-Roma sentiment is the same thing that's been happening here in Canada. It's become such an issue that I've written a report to the United Nations Committee for Elimination of Racial Discrimination last February. My report was entitled Delegitimizing Roma Refugees in Canada. And I clearly outline how our Canadian immigration minister has strategically and systematically found ways to discredit our entire community and humiliate this entire community and across this entire country. He's interfered in the independent political, or he's interfered in the independent decision-making process at the Immigration Refugee Board. He's encouraged anti-Roma sentiment among Canadians and encouraging them not to embrace and welcome Roma refugees into Canada. He's increased stereotypes and hatred towards the community when the kids are going to school. You know, for example, they're being told by other teenagers at school to go home, gypsies. We don't want you here in this country. The same stuff that the immigration minister is basically saying that the media is reporting. And of course, the media, especially the conservative, the right-leaning media that supports the government, is very happy to really manipulate what he even further these stereotypes. And what's been existing in the media is it's in the far right media in Canada is it's been really sad. I mean, even as we're speaking, there's a report that came out by the Canadian Border Service Agency that just talks about Roma criminality in Canada. Like the racial profiling that's existing now towards the community is unbelievable. I'm having different racialized groups in Canada contact me and trying to find ways that we could work together so that we have a way to respond. Because the Roma Community Center is essentially, it's a 100% volunteer-based organization. We have just money from a private foundation to pay for our rent. We don't have any money for salaries, for our executive director, our staff. We're very, very, it's very difficult for us to respond in the appropriate manner that really needs to be responded to this type of institutionalized racism that we're dealing with here in Canada. And we really need the help of other groups. And the as much as we've been facing huge challenges and barriers by the Canadian government, I have to say that the Canadian people as a whole and Canadian organizations have been absolutely wonderful in supporting us and trying to stand in solidarity with us. Like the Canadian Council for Refugees is 100% behind us. We have a number of community organizations that work with immigrants and refugees in Canada, and these people work with us on a daily basis. We've even had partnerships with the Toronto Police Services in trying to build a better relationship between the Roma community in Canada and, well, specifically in Toronto and our Toronto Police. So we're doing everything we can to work with the community, the Canadian community. We're doing everything we can to help the Roma community. And we're doing everything we can to raise awareness about this institutionalized discrimination. And this past May, was May 3rd, I was the first Roma in Canadian history to get an opportunity to address our Canadian government. I testified to the Parliamentary Committee on Citizenship and Immigration and explained to them how detrimental Bill C-31 is to the Roma community. It's detrimental to refugees across Canada, but it specifically targets the Roma community. And I had another opportunity again on June 18th to return to Ottawa and to this time testify in front of a Canadian Senate committee. And this time I had lost some of the hope and naivety that I had on May 3rd and hoping that I could actually change the minds of our decision makers, that they'd make some sort of amendment to this legislation that would make it more fair for Roma. For example, I was hoping, and many people were hoping in Canada, that an independent human rights panel, a panel of human rights experts, will be the people designating which country should be on the safe list or unsafe list. As it stands, it's the immigration minister that has sole discretionary powers to decide which country will be on the safe list and which country will be on the non-safe list. So he's taken out that whole independent decision making that a human rights panel could do that could add credibility to this law, really, and these lists that will be created. And so it's up to the immigration minister now to determine which country is safe and unsafe.
Even in the future, if things got potentially much worse in Hungary or in the Czech Republic, it's still just up to him as to which countries are safe and not safe. There's no independent analysis of that.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. And so on June 18th, when I had an opportunity to meet with our government again, I was very clear this time. I was not scared to say that the Roma community in Canada is facing explicit institutionalized discrimination and that the immigration minister has exploited gypsy stereotypes and he has manipulated statistics, because this immigration minister says that almost all Roma refugee claims are either abandoned, withdrawn, or rejected, when that is not true. He chooses to turn a blind eye to the fact that even last year there was 165 accepted refugee claims just from Hungary. He refuses to acknowledge that our own system is recognizing Roma refugees as being legitimate asylum seekers. And so this is what's existing in Canada right now. He's gone to Hungary to somehow legitimize this safe countries list that will be published in December 2012. In the background of the Twitter pictures that he was posting on his Twitter account while he was in Hungary, the background screen is a Canadian government screen that says Canadian citizenship is not for sale. This is adding insult to injury. Not only do you kick the people that are down already, you go to their home country and kick them even further after you've rejected them.
Okay, so let's take a small break here, and I want you to just very quickly introduce some music that that you had mentioned to me earlier, and then afterwards we can come back and you can tell me about the music and more about the situation of Hungarian Roma in Canada.
So the music you're about to hear is basically spoken word, revolutionary rap, if you will. And the creator of this is Laszlo Sarkozy. Laszlo has worked very, very closely with me at the Roma Community Center in Toronto. He was my community coordinator and translator for a hate crime prevention project that we did last year that lasted 8 months. The hate crime prevention project was called Hate Can Kill, or Inato Shai Muderal in Romanes. And we had the opportunity to educate 1,100 Canadians, 400 police officers, and approximately 800 people from our community about hate crime, how it's affected our community, and ways that we could positively respond to hate crime and report when hate crimes take place against the community. So this project was incredibly successful. It's been nominated for Canadian Race Relations Foundation's 2012 Award of Excellence. Laszlo worked with me closely on this project, and he has created this spoken word revolutionary rap piece that you're about to hear, and it is entitled Hate Can Kill. And okay. It speaks strongly to what Roma have endured prior to the Holocaust, during the Holocaust, after the Holocaust, and right up until present day.
Okay, let's listen to this this song, and we'll be right back.
Engedelmo manka, malita shavali. Kadijili, de shaikenaf kumenge. Samanda shunena, numayo shachipe. Kamente jane, figyelünk hate. Nincs több érabszolgaság, ezt már tudja mindenki. Munkatáborban robotton lépti nektek semmi. Húzni kell az igát, hol a család ehessen. Az uniós állam neked nehogy egy koncot vessen. Jobban kell a tolvajoknak az ország gyűlésben, mert nagyon elfáradtak ők a sok zseb tömésben. Milliók az EU-tól a romák nevében, mindenfél a korú politikusok zsebében. Dolgozás a cigány, nem lesz több bajunk, te véle. Három havi támogatás után, másik a bére. A betonított munkát te örökre megnyerted. Mindegy, hány nyelvet tudsz, hiszak már van, gyere van a helyed. Örülhetnél, hogy valaki még munkát ad neked. A gyerünk indul robotolni, húzad a belet. Túl órával 50 000 fizetünk neked. Nem számít, hogy házad rezsit van meg, gyereked. Magyarországon polgár nem, te cigány voltam. Mondjátok csak politikusok, a szabadság hol van? Szajkozzátok unió óta már, minden jól van. Akkor miértől lettetek meg rómákat az otthonukban? A csorba család Szentgyörgyön a létek sem ártok. Hát szálljon ezért tirátó gyilkosok a szátok. Gyilkolni segített titkos szolgálat és rendőr. Államtitok 80 évre, a tervetek megdől. Ez sem elég nektek, ti még értünk, nyugáltok. Hogy jobb országban éljünk, ti még azt sem hagyjátok. Miért teszitek észre, felérek hozzátok. Egyszerű az indok, nagyon ég a pofátok. Szétnézek Magyarországon, sok rasszistát látok. 80%-ban minden romát utáltok. Tudjuk, hogy a jobbik kormányzására vágytok, s hogy minden romát akász kamrába bezárnátok. De nem hiszitek, ugye, hogy ezt megűzhatjátok. A romák le kell fogátot mondani, Hirrátok, a lelki ismeretetek már régen elvásod, de minden ország tízes lepedőt húz. Hirrátok, mert volt egyszer már egy ember és egy egész ország. Kik a romákra, a Pahraimoszt rehozták. Német volt a náci vezér, vagy inkább osztrák. A roma nép egy harmadának vesztét okozták. Szokaméka belagázsé, szosztár gindinke májlásé, gyanakon szimájná szúlá, májlen de májlen csíjúma, von mudár déle butromén, lengi familiá rovél, csizsán nem szólj okámító, zsanasz nájkadálén csípíló, gázsé szosztár szanká cávé, tónik csíjász bárdasztumé, csiszán péjúmá korkoró, íva gindintú még kódó, Telo védik hendé vleszké, ott rájön nájkáncsi túmengé, csirúgyin túméje de vleszké, búcsi kerende pengeszké. Itt a legújabb területek, a munka távol, nem csak én érzem úgy, hogy ezt láttuk már máshol. Pontosan így kezdte el a Hitler, a pártok, s az Auschwitz-i tábor tervét hagyta rátok. Hát innen van a kifejetekben minden ötlet, a neve munkatábor, de tömegeket ölhet. Elviszitek elő messzire az a pákat, ma családot tud gyilkolnátok meg a romákat. Mi 80% most már hozzátok szólok, másnak adjál szára, senki sem lehet boldog. Azt hiszitek, hogy igen, iszonyú bolondság, egyébként a gyűlölet az nem a boldogság, hanem lelketeket rágó iszonyú nagy korság, mely ugyanolyan rossz, mint akármelyik másrák. Elpusztítja legvégül a saját gazdáját, nem hagy meg semmi más, csak a csupasz csontvázát. A betiltott gárdátok még, mi jogon battok? Betyásereg, véderő, ti minden kutyák vagytok. Öngyös patát túl sokáig körülzárt rátok. Nevecsetét szegédet meg szálva tartottátok. A békés roma családokat terrorizáltátok. Idejét múlt a hitleri ideológiátok. Jól tudjuk, hogy minden romát holtan látnátok. De azt is tudjuk, a fokról már forron vártik rátok. Rendőrök, ti meg végig asszisztáltátok. Ezzel a köztársaság sírját megástátok. A fasiszta diktatúrát támogattátok. Hogy rasszisták vagytok, így bebizonyítottátok. Eljött az ideje, hogy mind megváltozatok. Örülhetnétek, hogy erre esélyt kaptatok. Ezzel túl csak azt tegyétek, mi feladatotok. Ne hagyjátok, hogy szenvedjenek az ártatlanok. Politikusok veletek történne, meddig várnátok? Ha titeket szállnának meg, ti meddig maradnátok? Ha ti lennétek áldozatok, vajon mit látnátok? Akkor is csak rasszisták lennének a barátok. Saját családotok sírját vajon megásnátok? Vagy a nácikat végre börtönbe zárnátok? Jobbik volgár háborúját meg akadályoznátok? Egyszer az életben nem magatokat szolgálnátok. Szokaménkád a lágázsé, szosztár gindinke májlásé, gyanakon szimájná szúlá, nájlen de nájlen csíjúmá, von mudár déle butromén, lengi familiá rovél, csizsán nem szólj okámító, zsánasz nájkád álén csíjíró, gázsé szosztár szanká cavé, konik csiász badasztúmé, csiszán péjúmá korkoró, íva gindintó még kódó, Lilo baby can de reske, o trajon nájkáncsi tú mengé, csibúgyin tú meje de reske, búcsikeren lövengeszke.
Okay, now we're with Gina Chani Roba, a Hungarian Roma Canadian, who has Hungarian heritage, and she's part of the Toronto Roma Community Center. And we're talking about the situation of Hungarian Roma that are seeking asylum and refugee status in Canada. So what is the situation there for the well, it's in the news here in Hungary as well, of course. The Hungarians that are in Canada, like, what are they, how are they making the claims, and how are they successful, and what is that community like there?
Okay, so there's two divisions in Roma refugee claims that come to Canada. Some people are lucky, are fortunate enough to have family or friends that had settled here back in the late 90s. So you have people that have much more support when they arrive in Canada and make a refugee claim, and they have family or friends here already that could help them with the language, help them navigate a very complex refugee system, and help them integrate into Canadian society, and often are able to help them to find employment here in Canada. They are much more successful refugee claimants than the other group. The other group are Roma that come to Canada and do not have family and friends here. They too have this belief that Canada is some mecca for human rights, and that as soon as they arrive here, they will receive, you know, the protection and the dream that they had envisioned in their head. These Roma have a much more difficult and challenging time in Canada. They come and they have to find shelter. And, you know, I should reverse a little bit here. I should say that all Roma have difficulty getting on planes in Hungary. The Canadian government has been very clear with Hungarian airlines, or airlines operating in Hungary, that nobody is allowed on the plane without a two-way ticket. So the challenges begin before they even step out of the country. Over here, when Roma are coming and they arrive at the airport, they're being harassed by Canada Border Services Agency. Many are forced to get back on planes, some are put into detention, and some make it out and are able to go into a shelter or meet with friends and family that they have here. So the Roma that have to seek accommodation on their own is very difficult. Shelters in Toronto and surrounding areas have been filled to capacity since 2008 with Roma refugee claimants. And it's been hard for people to find shelter. I've had stories of families that have had to sleep on the street when they've arrived because they haven't been able to find a bed. Families have arrived in multi-generations. It's not often that people arrive as single individuals. People usually arrive as couples or intact family units, or even as three generational units together. So one family in particular that arrived last October, I know we were having calls at the Roma Community Center that they couldn't find a bed anywhere. And essentially grandparents and their children and their spouses and grandchildren slept on a street. So that's some of the challenges that people face initially. Then you have a problem of finding appropriate legal representation. People have been going, predators have been going to shelters and recruiting refugee claims. In Canada, we have a legal aid system where if you are low income, you could be issued a legal aid certificate to help pay for a lawyer or a paralegal. So you have immigration refugee consultants, a small number of them, and a small number of lawyers that have preyed upon the community and not given appropriate or adequate representation at the Immigration Refugee Board. You have one lawyer, for example, represented over 400 refugee claims in 1 year. There's no way possible that those people are getting the help that they need. We've had so many cases of cutting and pasting of refugee claims. People just, like immigration consultants or lawyers, just cutting and pasting information from the European Human Rights Center or Amnesty into a refugee claim, and no personalization of the story. There's been problems with translation. Translation is the biggest barrier to Roma in Canada. There's very few Hungarian-speaking settlement workers. It's only been in the last year and a half, 2 years, that agencies have actually been able to obtain the funding and hire Hungarian-speaking settlement workers. There's been very little support for the Roma in terms of language support in Canada. There's been the problems with the legal representation. We've had to advocate for Roma refugees as well as other agencies that we partner with, to Legal Aid Ontario and to the Law Society in Ontario, about people that are abusing our system and collecting these legal aid documents and getting paid for work that they're not doing. This has resulted in a significant number of withdrawn and abandoned refugee claims from the community. There's other barriers that exist along the way, with finding apartments and accommodations. You know, how rental rates are very high in Toronto. For example, a family may receive a social service check for $1,200 and their rent could be $950, which leaves them very little money for food. A lot of people are relying on food banks that have to collect social services to survive. There's a lot of discrimination from landlords to rent to new immigrants or refugees in Canada. The problem becomes even worse when they could be identified as Roma, specifically in Parkdale, a Parkdale neighborhood. It's a neighborhood in Toronto that currently has the largest population of Roma outside of the European continent. There's thousands of families that live in Parkdale now. Many of them are from Miskolc, our surrounding areas. And they have a hard time finding accommodations outside of Parkdale. And they end up in large slumlord buildings where they're poorly maintained. A lot of people have moved to Parkdale because that's where a lot of the community has settled in the past. So it's just people clustering together in the same buildings with each other. It's actually quite unique to our community to see that.
What is the approximate total number we're talking about?
Of refugee claims in Canada?
Oh, no, of Roma, Hungarian specifically, refugee claims.
Last year there was 4,500 Hungarian Roma, Hungarian refugee claims. Yeah, in 1 year, 4,500. The year before it was about 3,500, and about 1,200 or so the year before. So, and this year, they're saying that the numbers are relatively the same as last year. So, say it's 4,000, just to kind of average it out, 4,000 for the past 3 years. That would be 12,000. Refugee claims from Hungary. And it's important to note that these claims, more often than not, contain more than one individual. They often contain a family of four or a family of eight. Sometimes a whole family is put on one refugee claim. So, you know, it would be safe to say that, you know, it's at least 24,000 Hungarian citizens have come seeking asylum in Canada for the past 3 years.
Your community center is trying to network and connect with these people. I mean, how does that work?
This community is very much a word of mouth community, and so some people they know that the Roma Community Center exists, and they bring their family and friends there, and some people are just still learning about the Roma Community Center. With very limited financial and human resources, it's hard to really get our name out there. A lot of Roma don't know that there's a Roma community center. At the same time, we don't have the appropriate resources to help large numbers of people from the community. With public education, yes, we do. With advocacy, yes, we do. We speak for the entire Canadian Roma community. But when it comes to things such as settlement services, helping to find you know, jobs and do work permits, and helping to connect people to lawyers. There's only a certain number of people that we could help anyways. We're too small of an organization. We don't have enough capacity. The good thing is that there are other organizations in Canada, or in Toronto specifically, such as the Romero House and St. Christopher House and CultureLink, that have done an outstanding job at trying to help respond to the need that exists out there in the Roma community. But the truth be told, the Roma Community Center, as well as these other organizations, have not in any way matched the need that exists out there. We're not even maybe even 50% of matching the need of Roma in Canada right now. For example, like school settlement workers, there's only two school settlement workers that speak Hungarian in this city, and both of them are in Parkdale. There's large numbers of Roma living in other places around the city. And so the kids are going to school and they can't speak English, and the parents need help and the support of a settlement worker in the schools. And that doesn't exist anywhere else, anywhere around Toronto outside of Parkdale. The Roma community itself is getting better at organizing itself. There's another group that has begun in Hamilton, led by a man named Tibor Lukash, and they have initiated the formation of another nonprofit organization called the United Roma of Hamilton. They've done great at creating soccer teams and community events. They've really done an outstanding job. So everybody's trying to play a little role in helping this large number of newcomers, refugee claimants into Canada. The supply of help nowhere meets the demand for help. A lot of people, the majority of people, fall through the system. Canada is not an easy country, and this refugee system is not an easy country to navigate through. I mean, people are not really prepared for what they're going to face when they come here. And the language and the support that's needed doesn't exist. And connecting to appropriate legal help does not exist. So a lot of people end up with withdrawn refugee claims, especially when they see some of the discourse that's existing in Canada and how unwelcoming the Canadian government has become toward the Roma community. So this is a strong message that's being sent.
So what do you plan on doing next in the months ahead on this issue? And especially after your minister Kenny came here, I mean, what's next in your, what's your next steps for your activism?
So the next thing that we're doing is a protest demonstration on November 4th, and this is a protest against about an award that Jason Kenny is getting. From an organization called the Canadian Friends of Haifa University in Israel. He's getting an honorary doctorate of philosophy award for his work in anti-racism and tolerance, which we find completely hypocritical, because we don't find that this man is anti-racist in any way, shape, or form. But what's even more appalling for our community is the fact that there's going to be a scholarship fund in his name established called the Jason Kenny Holocaust Education Fund. And this is a huge insult for the Roma community across the world. I mean, for a man that has gone so far out of his way to delegitimize our community and to propagate terrible and negative stereotypes against our community, and for every Holocaust commemoration he attends or gives in Canada, he systematically leaves out the Roma community and excludes us. He, by his actions, it seems to him that he has no knowledge that Roma were also victims and targeted for extermination during the Holocaust. He has no clue on how our experience during the Holocaust shapes some of who we are today, and has contributed to how disenfranchised this community is. And for the Canadian Friends of Haifa University to contribute to a scholarship to be established in his name regarding the Holocaust is a major insult to the Roma community. So we are going to be protesting this on November 4th. There will be about 30 other Canadian organizations also protesting against this award on November 4th for various reasons. But the big message is an anti-racism message, because there's no way a man that has exemplified this sort of racism and exclusion should be honored with a doctorate degree or a scholarship in his name. So that's the next thing that we have planned. The next, after that, we're waiting for the Safe Countries list to be published. We have to have a response to this. So we're still trying to organize. Our board of directors for the Roma Community Center is trying to still come up with what will be an appropriate way to respond. If we had a dream come true, we would probably if we had the money, we would have large buses of Roma go straight to Ottawa, and we would all converge on Parliament Hill in front of our federal government buildings in Ottawa, and we would stay there and demand that countries that treat us badly and don't do anything to enforce the human rights of the Roma and do nothing to enforce a disbandment of openly operating militaries or to do anything about the white supremacy groups and the other hateful groups that target this community, that do nothing to enforce segregated education, to do nothing to enforce any kind of acceptable standard of housing and healthcare for the Roma community. They should not be on a list of safe countries.
Gina, thank you very much for being on the Mindenki Yoga radio show. And please, let's stay in touch in the future. And I want to know, you know, what your next steps are in your organization and in your activism.
Oh my goodness, thank you so much for this opportunity. I really appreciate it. It's a long time that I've wanted to have a bridge of communication with you know, our community and other English speaking people that are inside of Hungary, that feel our pain often and acknowledge what kind of challenges we deal with. If you'd like more information about the work we're doing in Canada, we have a website, which is www.romatoronto.org. And we also have a Facebook page, which is the Toronto Roma Community Center. And it's definitely a lot of information that's accessible. All Canadian newspaper articles pertaining to us, we include on our website. So it's a great resource for information, and we encourage people to come and visit it.
Thank you again, Gina. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thank you, Gina Chani Robot. That was very interesting, and we will talk again. I know we have many more things to talk about, connecting Canada and Hungary and on the Roma issue and other issues as well. Let's listen to a little bit of music real fast, and when we come back, we're going to just go right to listening to Jenu Žigo and Eladar Horvat at the Roma Parliament in the 8th District of Hungary. This is going to be entirely in Hungarian, and they're going to talk about the future of the Roma Parliament and the situation with the local city council, and whether or not they're going to be able to continue use of that beautiful building in the 8th District, the Roma Parliament.
Thank you. But I know a change gonna come. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Most pedig meghallgathatják a Magyarországi Róma Parlament nemzetközi sajtótájékoztatójának első félóráját, melynek során Zsigó Jenő és Horváth Aladár beszél a kialakult helyzetről.
Most találtam meg véletlenül, ahogy felhoztuk a tervrajzokat. Ezek az Amarodrom újságban megjelent írásaim, de passzolnak a mai sajtótájékoztató témájához. Megtizedelt értelem, az egyetemisták körében nagyon magas a náci szimpatizánsok száma, ez motiválta ezt a cikket. A Nevelhetetlen Többség című írásom pedig arról szól, hogy bármi is történik Európában. Az unió tagjává válunk, és az unió alkotmánya, ránk nézve is egy hatályos alkotmány, a magyarországi többség mégis úgy viselkedik, mintha 60-80 évvel ezelőtti korban élne, és olyan törvényeket hoz a magyarországi cigányságra. Nem vagyok cigány, ez amellett érvel, hogy miért kell cigánynak lenni a magyarországi cigányságnak, és a cigány vagyok, ez a kettő cikk egymást kiegészítő, de nem azt kérem, hogy most olvassák el, az Amarodrom honlapján megtalálható, és remélem, hogy kiegészíti a sajtótájékoztató anyagát. Tisztelt vendégeink, tisztelettel köszöntöm Önöket, és köszönöm és hálás vagyok, hogy eljöttek a sajtótájékoztatónkra, amelyet Horváth Aladárral együtt tartunk. Én Zsigó Jenő vagyok, a Roma Parlament elnöke. Nem vagyok professzionális sajtótájékoztató tartó, úgyhogy A-verzió van. Az A-verzió elmondott mindent, amit a hivatalos ügymenetről tudok dokumentálni a 8. kerülettel, vagy pedig ezeket később veszem elő, amikor a kérdések ezt szükségessé teszik. Tehát mit javasolnak, hogy kezdjük a kérdésekkel, amire igyekszünk röviden, és igen, akkor megszavaztuk, és akkor várjuk a kérdéseiket.
Röviden össze kellene foglalni, miért is vagyunk.
Azt tudjuk, nem? De összefoglalhatom. A Roma parlamentet harmadik alkalommal igyekszik kilakoltatni a 8. kerületi önkormányzat. A Roma parlament több mint 20 éve úgy dolgozik itt, hogy gyakorlatilag betöltötte a hiányzó országos cigány művészeti kulturális központ szerepkörét. Ezt az asztalra kitett eseményeink, dokumentumaink, meghívóink, könyveink, kiadott CD-ink mind alátámaszták, ahogyan az Amarodrom évfolyama is, amelyet több mint 2 évtizeden keresztül jelentettünk meg. Hallatlan szellemi munka folyt a Roma parlamentben, maradandó és nélkülözhetetlen szellemi értéket halmoztunk fel. Emellett egy nagyon fontos, és talán ennél is fontosabb tényező, hogy a Roma parlament politizáló civil szervezet. Eredeti szándékaink szerint is politizáló civil szervezetként hoztuk létre, azért, mert a magyarországi cigányság politikai érdekei nem képviselték megfelelően, hiszen a mi civil történelmi időszakunk kétfelé oszlik. Az első korszakot meghatározta az állam által létrehozott álcigány szervezetek léte, így hozta létre az állam a Magyarországi Cigányok Kulturális Szövetségét, így hozta létre később a Magyarországi Cigányok Demokratikus Szövetségét, az Országos Cigány Tanácsot, mindezeket a szervezeteket, később pedig a Lungodromot állami pénzen, hallatlan állami források támogatásával segítve az ellencigány szervezetek felépítését. Ekkor jött létre elsőként és alulról szervezetten a Pralipe, majd nem sokkal később a Magyarországi Roma Parlament. Határozottan és nyíltan azzal a céllal, hogy a kulturális, művészeti, intellektuális, szakmai feladataink, amelyeket olyan végtelenül könnyű és rendkívül nagy élvezet megoldani, emellett politizáljunk is. Mi voltunk, Magyarországi Roma Parlament volt 1992-ben az egyetlen olyan országos szervezet, amelyik nyíltan elítélte a kisebbségi törvényt, amelyet 93-ban fogadott el a parlament, 96%-os támogatottság mellett, ha jól emlékszem. Egyetlen egy képviselő volt abban a parlamentben, a mellettem ülő Horváth Aladár, akkor SZDSZ-es képviselő, egyetlen egy, aki elutasította a kisebbségi törvényt. A Roma parlament közzétette a kritikai ellenzését, mely szerint a kisebbségi törvény nem kisebbségi, mert nem a kisebbséghez tartozók jogává tette a törvény a vezetőik megválasztását, hanem valamennyi szavazójogosú magyar állampolgár joga lett megválasztani, most idézőjelbe teszem, mi úgy fogalmaztunk, az elnyomottak vezetőit. Felfoghatatlan, beláthatatlan, illetve most már nagyon is látható következményei lettek az elnyomó törvény elfogadásának és hatályba léptetésének. A magyarországi cigányságnaktól elvették a politikai jogát ahhoz, hogy megválassza a megfelelő vezetőit. Így kerülhettek aztán OCÖ vezetői székbe, két ember uralja ezt a 20 évet, ezt az 5 ciklust. Az egyik vezető, úgy hívják Farkas Flórián, volt MDF-es, MSZP építette fel, Tabajdicsova, Kósáné Kovács Magda elsősorban, majd átigazolt a Fideszhez, most már, ha jól emlékszem, harmadik ciklus óta a Fidesz padsoraiban ül fideszes parlamenti képviselőként, és most már harmadik ciklusban a magyarországi cigányság első számú politikai vezetője a kisebbségi törvény szerint. Ezt a feladatát soha nem látta el, soha nem állt a cigányság mellé. Ő volt az, aki sorozatosan kijelentette, hogy ameddig él és politizál, mindig harcolni fog azért, hogy a cigányság vezetőit a nem cigányok joga is legyen megválasztani. Sehol a világon erre példa nincs. Ilyen kisebbségi vezető nincs a világon. Még egy. Ő jelentette ki azt is, hogy a magyarországi cigányságot semmilyen hátrányos megkülönböztetés nem éri. Fölteszem a kérdést, hogy ha a cigányság soraiban a munkaképes korosztályt véve 9-szerese a munkanélküliek aránya a nem cigányok munkanélküli arányának. Ez vajon nem elviselhetetlen, alkotmányellenes, hátrányos, fajgyűlöleten is alapuló hátrányos megkülönböztetés? 9-szeres szorzó? Hol van ma a világon ilyen ország? A másik vezető Kolompár Orbán volt. Mind a kettő egyébként elhíresült a kissé tisztázatlan előítletéről, ez alatt a különböző büntetőügyeket értem, de Kolompár Orbán ott vált a népe ellenségévé, akkor vált a népe ellenségévé, amikor először megválasztották az országos cigány önkormányzat elnökének. Abban az időszakban tervezte az állam a nemzeti fejlesztési források felhasználását. Hova, milyen forrásokat kell tervezni? És ebben a tervezési folyamatba avatkozott be Kolompár Orbán, az OCÖ elnökeként, azzal a politikai elnökségi határozat nyilvánosságra hozásával, hogy ők kérik az országos cigány önkormányzat, a magyarországi cigányság teljes jogú és egyetlen politikai képviselete kéri a kormánytól, hogy a hátrányok figyelembevételénél tekintsen el attól, hogy a hátrányokhoz az etnikai hovatartozás a meghatározó ellen, az út. Tehát tekintsen el attól, hogy a cigányok között 9-szeres a munkanélküliségi arány, vegye őket egyformának a 10%-osokkal. És a forrásokat ne úgy tervezze meg felhasználni a kohéziós forrásokat, hogy a 10% és 90% között óriási egymás felé mozdulás történjen el. Ha magyar államban 10%-os a munkanélküliség, akkor az alkotmányos jog, az egyetemes emberi jog, a kisebbségi jog és minden létező nemzetközi jog szerint a cigányok között nem lehet magasabb, mint 10% a munkanélküliség. Ez a politikai követelése és arszpolitikája az alapjogi követeléseink között most is a roma parlamentnek, személy szerint nekem is. Nem csak a hátrányok viseléséről kell beszélni a magyar államban, hanem az előnyök egyenlő viseléséről is. Ha a cigányságot kitaszítják a társadalomból, kirekesztik a társadalomból, akkor nem jut hozzá semmilyen előnyhöz, semmilyen civilizációs szolgáltatás, egészséges élet, a munka, mint az egészséges mentális lét alapfeltétele. A munka és jövedelemszerzés, mint a szülő egészséges és mentális fönnmaradásának az alapfeltétele, amely szerepről lemondani, vagy amely szerepet elvesztetteni minden ember életében tragédia. De képzeljék el, hogy a cigányok életében 90%-ot érint, és sújt ez a tragédia 25 éve. Egyetlen egy százalékkal sem csökkent a magyarországi cigányok körében a munkanélküliség 25 év alatt. Azért gondolom azt, visszatérve az alapkérdésre, hogy ismertessem a helyzetet, mert a roma parlament rendkívül kritikus szellemi központ és politikai központ volt a megalakulásától kezdve napjainkig. Itt a roma parlamentben az utolsó 6 hónapban rendszeres politikai konzultációt tartunk, amelynek az a célja, hogy kidolgozzuk és a magyarországi cigányság elé tárjuk. Hangsúlyozom, a cigányság elé. Tárjuk a magyarországi cigányság alapjogairól szóló dekrétumunkat. Ennek az első pontja az, hogy egyenlő arányokat kérünk a foglalkoztatásban. A Magyarországon mondjuk most 40%-os a foglalkoztatottak aránya, a cigányok között 40%-osnak kell lennie az állandó foglalkoztatottak. Nem a közmunkásoknak, akik éhhalál alatti bérért kell, hogy dolgozzanak, amiből családot nem lehet fenntartani, gyermeket nevelni nem lehet, a egy személy havi ellátására is kevés jövedelmet tudnak szerezni, keresni közmunkával. Követeljük azt az alapjogi téziseink között, hogy egyenlő munkáért egyenlő bért. Ha van minimálbér meghatározva ebben az országban, akkor a közmunkáért is az járjon. Az már közelít az emberi lét legalapvetőbb feltételeinek a biztosítását lehetővé tévő bérezéshez. De a legalacsonyabb szinten. A másik, a 47 ezer forintos, a 22.800 forintos kategóriákat én úgy nevezem, hogy ez már közelít a koncentrációs táborok napi kenyér fejadagjához. Körülbelül ezt a szintet jelenti. És ha az állam nem tesz lépéseket a 80-90%-os térbeli szegregáció, tehát a cigány lakosok elkülönítése ellen, az oktatási szegregáció ellen, a munkahelyi szegregáció ellen, akkor visszafordíthatatlanná váló társadalmi folyamatokat erősít meg maga az állam. Az állam hozta létre ezt a rendszert, a cigányokat elnyomó rendszert, a rendszerváltás kezdetétől. Még egy elemet, ami rendkívül tragikus, említenék, és ez a szabad identitás választásról szóló törvény. Az azt jelenti, lefordítom cigányra, mert van magyar értelmezése, és van cigány értelmezése. Én most szótár vagyok, és igyekszem ezt lefordítani. A magyaroknak azt jelenti, hogy bármikor mondhatom magamról, hogy cigány, ha kiírnak cigányoknak szóló pályázatot, akkor azt mondja, hogy a szabad identitás választáshoz kötődő alkotmányos jogommal élve azt írom be a pályázati űrlapra, hogy cigány vagyok, nehogy már cigányok valamilyen előnyhöz jussanak. Ebben az esetben ő törvényesen jár el, nem sért semmilyen törvényt, és elveszi az utolsó maradék lehetőséget is a cigányoktól. Például volt ilyen üzleti vállalkozásokat, kisvállalkozásokat támogató program. Azonnal olyan levelezés bontakozott ki az akkori Földművelődési Minisztérium honlapján, hogyha azt olvasták volna, akkor igazából megrémülnek. Mert faggyűlöleti alapon tudatosan vették el a cigányoktól a pályázati lehetőséget azzal, hogy ők kijelentették magukról, nem cigányként leveleztek, és beírta, hogy jogom van magam cigánynak nevezni, és elveszem a cigányoktól a forrásokat. Elveszi a forrást, majd ő marad magyar a bőrszíne alapján. Hiszen nem barnult le azzal, hogy ő cigánynak nevezi magát, ő fehér maradt. A cigányok olvasatában ugyanez a szabad identitás választási jog azt jelenti, hogy akármit mondasz, akárhogy élsz, akárhogy akarsz asszimilálódni, akárhogy mondasz le a hagyományaidról, a kultúrádról, a nyelvedről, akárhány diplomát szerzel, akkor is cigány vagy a többség szemében. Mert a látható kisebbséghez tartozik. A raszélyek alapján megkülönböztethető kisebbséghez. Úgy nevezzük ezt, hogy hamis üveggyöngyökkel fizette ki az új rendszer a cigányokat. Nem használható jogokkal. Vagy jogfosztást gyakorolt, és a kisebbségi törvényről egész Európában elhíresztelte, hogy ez egy példaadó törvény, 10 év múlva érte utol az Magyar Alkotmánybíróság a Roma Parlament állításait, és 10 év múlva mondta ki a kisebbségi törvény különböző passzusairól, hogy alkotmányellenes. Ez a Roma Parlament. A kultúra, a művészet, ez színházi központ volt, 10 premier született itt, ezen a színpadon. Nagy sikerrel 10 éven keresztül színházi program volt, komoly zenei koncertsorozat volt, jazz központ volt, jazz történeti előadássorozatot tartott itt Kácsi Olá Kálmán, hallatlan program. Ez volt a helye a Roma Akadémiának. Alig van ma Magyarországon olyan közéleti szereplő, leszámítva a 20-éveseket, aki nevet volna itt részt a Roma Akadémia képzési programjain. A Roma Akadémia képzési programjait közzétettük az Amarodromban. Olvasható, tanulmányozható. Azt kell mondjam, hogy egyetemi szinten tanítottuk a magyarországi közéletet, cigány közélet résztvevőit és a magyarországi cigányságot a jogaira. Ezért kell megszűnnie, ez az alapállításom és alapvéleményem, hogy ezért kell megszűnnie minden cigány intézménynek Magyarországon, akiket felsoroltam, még szerzett jogaink sincsenek, nemhogy írott jogaink. Semmihez nincs jogunk. Sem beszélni, sem gondolkozni, sem cselekedni, nincs jogunk itt rendszeresen leülni és tanácskozni. Amit mi hoztunk létre, ezt a cigány festők hozták létre. A Roma Parlamentet az önkormányzat a fennállás óta egy fillérrel nem támogatta. Soha nem támogatta. Mindent mi csináltunk, akik itt dolgoztak, azok 90%-ban ingyen, térítésmentesen, díjmentesen, költségtérítés nélkül dolgoztak itt, és dolgozunk itt. Ezt kell megszüntetni. Amit mi hozunk létre, ez a kulturális önazonosságunk. És ezt veszik el. És mit ad helyette az állam? Az, hogy bűnözők vagyunk, élősködők, munkakerülők, és így tovább. És nem vagyunk azok. Soha nem volt az a cigányság, soha nem lesz az a cigányság. De olyan helyzetbe lehet politikailag, gazdaságilag kényszeríteni, hogy úgy tűnjön, mintha munka kerülő lenne, holott Magyarország nem ad munkát a cigányoknak. Láttuk ezt 60-valahány évvel ezelőtt, hogy akkor mit csináltak különböző társadalmi csoport, a zsidókkal mit csinált a náci, a fasiszta rendszer, de a kommunistákkal, a szociáldemokratákkal, az egyházakkal, a cigányokkal, a bármelyik csoportot, amelyet ellenségként megnevezett, azt elpusztított. Ugyan ennek a kapujában állunk most, a mi politikai ellenzésünk szerint. Hát bevezetőnek ennyi, a kérésedre.
Bocsánat, ezt tisztázok, hogy minden a kapujában áll, tehát az elpusztítás kapujában áll? Ezt így kell érteni.
Hát, köszönöm a kérdést. Bocsánat, ugyanerről akkor te is. Két kategóriát különböztet meg a nemzetközi jog. Az egyik a közvetett népirtás, amelyik mentálisan lerombolja az embereket, a kultúrájukat nem létezőnek tekinti, a megélhetésüket nem biztosítja, ez az állandó foglalkoztatás, kirekeszti őket a társadalomból, és stigmákkal veszi őket körül. Stigma az, ami szerint nem él jól egyetlen egy ember sem, ezekkel a stigmákkal körülvéve, mint hogy bűnöző, élősködő, munkakerülő és nevelhetetlen, ja, és túltámogatott, ami soha az életben nem volt igaz. Ezekkel a stigmákkal élni. Pici gyerekkortól megszületik egy gyerek, és ez a stigma mind rajta van. Így élni, így felnőtt életet élni, gyereket nevelni, társadalmi kapcsolatokról lemondani, a becsületét látva minden nap megalázni. Mindegyik cigányra vonatkozik ez. Ez a közvetett népirtás eszköze. Ha azt mondom, hogy tegnap hallottam egy történetet, voltam egy képzésen, egy szülésznő mesélte, hogy történik cigány szülőnő esetében az eszközök használata. Vannak steril eszközök, és vannak nem steril eszközök. A hölgy, aki ott állt az orvos mellett, cigány. A szülő hölgy, cigány. Az orvos fölveszi a nem steril eszközt. Az ápolónő figyelmezteti, hogy doktor úr, az nem steril, ott van a másik asztalon a steril. Azt mondja a doktor úr, ezeknek? Azért mondom el, mert most ez volt tegnapi történet. Ezeknek? Ha 400 településen nincs orvos, annak milyen következményei vannak? Ha a cigányok 90%-a napi éhezéssel van sújtva, nyomor körülmények között él, ki tudja kiváltani a gyógyszerét? Ki utalja be olyan gyógykezelésre, ha nincs orvos, amivel túlélhet mondjuk egy közepesen súlyos betegséget? Miért 20 évvel alacsonyabb a cigányok átlag életkora, mint a nem cigányoké? Én azt gondolom, hogy a nem cigányok szívesen fönntartják azt a mitoszt, hogy a cigányok a jéghátán is megélnek 20 évvel kevesebbet. Ugyanazon a jéghátán élünk, ha Magyarországot tekintjük most jégnek. Az egyik 20 évvel kevesebbet él. Miért? Ki teszi fel ezt a kérdést? Genetikailag meghatározott? Nem genetikailag meghatározott. Csak nyomorba kell taszítani azt, akiről úgy dönt a hatalom, éljen 20 évvel kevesebbet. A gyermekeit 20-szoros arányba minősítem fogyatékosnak, és ezzel kiírom őket a társadalomból. Döntsön úgy a kormány, hogy 16 éves kora után köztantár, közismereti tantárgyakat nem tanítunk nekik. Erről azzal döntött, hogy örök életére segédmunkás lesz. Fizikai erejéből kell megéljen, a legnehezebb munkát kell elvégeznie, nyomor körülmények közül kell elvégezni azt a munkát, egészségesen táplálkozni nem tud, és a lehető legkevesebbet fizetik neki. Miért ne éljen 20 évvel kevesebbet, ha valakit ilyen törvényekkel vesznek körül? Illetve miért, hogyan tudna megélni 80 éves tisztes kort ilyen körülmények között? Nincs rá példa. Ez a közvetett népirtás. Mi sok éve beszélünk erről. A közvetlen népirtás az, amit a Jobbik és a Magyar Gárda képvisel, elkezdték a Magyarországon felállítandó koncentrációs táborok tervét politikailag képviselni azokon a régiókban, ahol a cigányok lélekszáma magas. Például Borsod egész konkrétan. És ott 3 méter magas szöges drótkerítéssel, fegyveres őrökkel képzelik el a cigányok őrzését. Azt is elmondják, hogy aki a táboron belül, a koncentrációs táboron belül esetleg jól viselkedik, azt lehet, hogy kiengedik dolgozni. De az is lehet, mondják, hogy lesznek, akik bemennek a koncentrációs táborba, és soha életükben nem hagyják el többé. Ez Magyarország. Az állam eltűri ennek a pártnak a létét, az állam eltűri ennek a pártnak az erőszakszervezetének az állandó fenyegetését a cigányok felé. Ezek a szervezetek fasizálódásra motiválják a magyar társadalmat. És a különböző vizsgálatok szerint a támogatottságuk nő. Nagyon erős az egyetemisták körében, nem a legszegényebbek körében, akikkel együtt élnek a cigányok, akikkel mindig szimbiózisban éltek. Az értelmiség, amely a következő uralkodó réteg lesz Magyarországon, azok körében nő a náci eszmék elfogadottsága. Aladár, hogy ehhez hozzászól-e, vagy a következő kérdés ez, amit gondolom.
Én csak annyit, hogy miért vagyok itt, és átadom a szót akkor a kérdező újságíróknak. A személyes motivációm, az mindenki tudja, Ennek a szervezetnek én voltam az első elnöke, és úgy gondolom, hogy a roma...
Köszönjük, hogy meghallgatták a Mindenki Joga műsorát. Az egész sajtótájékoztatót a műsor blogján lehet meghallgatni, amely lmv.hu/mindenkijoga.
Thank you for listening to the Mindenki Yoga radio show. You can always find us online at lmv.hu/mindenkiyoga. And you spell Mindenki Yoga like this, MINDENKIJOGA. You can also find us on Facebook. Just type in Mindenki Yoga. I'm sure you can find us. The same thing with Google+. And you can always send us email. Send us email at MindenkiYoga, one word, MindenkiYoga at mailbox.hu. We always like comments and suggestions and your thoughts. Thank you, and talk to you again this coming week.